Good afternoon and welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I sucked down a big old gulp of Mountain Dew. Been a long day. Been a long few days, but they've been great. Any day you can get outdoors in South Carolina is a great day. I got my good friend Glenn Finley here with me. Glenn, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Roger. I'm glad to be here.
We are going to be talking about the Meet the Elites. This is the first of three Saturdays on Woods and Water, South Carolina. We're going to preview the Bassmaster Classic coming up. And one of the best events, other than the tournament itself, is the Meet the Elites event. That's going to be on March 12th. Glenn, you're in charge of getting it all together. It's going to be a good event this year.
Oh, it's going to be wonderful. We've already got vendors set up and a barbecue set up. And I'm not the only one doing it. We have probably another 8 or 10 people to help us do this.
Very good. Talking about that, we got Alton Jones is going to call in. And he won the 2008 Classic. But right now, we have Mr. John Stillwell, because the Foothills branch of South Carolina QDMA has got a big event coming up March the 8th. Mr. Stillwell, how are you, sir?
Good afternoon. Hope you guys are doing well.
We're doing good. Man, I tell you, how was your deer season?
Man, I had a great deer season. I pulled a trigger on a good velvet buck for the first time in 6 years, so after that, it was all gravy.
I hear you. And venison goes well with gravy, doesn't it?
Oh, man, venison goes well with everything, but especially gravy.
Almost like bacon. Foothills branch of QDMA, y'all do a lot of stuff. Have you got anything special going on this year?
Well, we always consider our youth hunts to be some of the most special things that we do.
We're fortunate
to be able to do several different youth events. We actually just had two of our big ones, in the last couple months. We had our annual youth deer hunt, where we partnered with the, DNR Tomo program,
right.
Take One, Make One program. Had a good hunt there and had a first deer taken. And then also we had our, annual, Perry DeLoach, Memorial, duck hunt, where we partnered with Outdoor Dreams Foundation, take a couple kids on a duck hunt on, one of the best duck properties in upstate South Carolina and North Georgia. And that just happened back in January. Had
okay.
a great hunt. Kids killed some gadwall and some widgeon and had a great time.
Wow. Those are some good ducks for South Carolina.
Absolutely. It's a special hunt and, with some special kids. So we really enjoyed that.
Well, y'all are mixing it up a little bit this year with your banquet. It's an oyster roast.
Well, we're still having our banquet in August like we always do,
right.
But we tried to, a couple of years ago, we tried to start doing a more of a social event to give some folks some things to do during a little bit of a downtime a year after duck season before
right.
turkey season starts up. So that's coming up this coming Thursday, March 8th, two Thursdays,
yeah.
At the Runway Cafe there in downtown Greenville at the downtown airport.
And I assume y'all are going to use the whole building, or y'all are going to use the part that's the old hangar off the end?
It's the old hangar off the end behind the restaurant that we'll be in. We'll have steamed oysters, fried oysters. We'll have all of our committee members bringing in different things like deer chili and maybe some chicken bog and things like that. And then all your beverages as well. So it'll be it really is designed to be a big night. You know, we raise a little bit of money at this event for
sure.
our youth hunts and venison donation, but it's really designed just a chance for outdoorsmen to have a chance to get out and socialize and have a good time.
I was going to say, I was going to ask you what you use the money to raise here, and that's for your youth hunts. But you got a pretty good way for people to get some good guns and raise some money this year. You got a good gun raffle going on.
Absolutely. We've been fortunate the past couple of years to partner with Palmetto State Armory to do a premium firearm raffle. We're doing that again this year. And the drawing will be for each of those guns. We're going to draw them individually. It'll be at the Oyster Roast. We've got a Benelli Super Black Eagle 3. We've got a PSA AR. We've got a Franke 20 gauge over and under. A Browning A-bolt deer rifle in your choice of caliber, and also a Kimber 1911 45. So we've got a good lineup of guns that you can buy tickets to win.
How much tickets per ticket, or how do you buy those tickets?
We're doing them one for $20, or you can spend $100 and get a couple of bonus tickets and get 7 tickets.
Wow, that's pretty good.
It's a pretty good setup, and this time for the first time we're offering everything online in advance of the event. You can either buy your Oyster Roast tickets and buy your raffle tickets by going to foothillsqdma.com and clicking on the link there under the event to get to our ticket page.
John, from your standpoint, you know, there's a lot of organizations out there. What sets QDMA apart from some of the others, in your opinion?
I think the focus on the resource, you know, the mission for QDMA is really to protect whitetail habitat and to improve the quality of the herd through both habitat management as well as hunter education and just in general preserving our outdoor heritage. So I think the fact that we're focusing on improving the resource and letting those young deer walk, those young bucks walk. And a lot of people equate QDMA with trophy hunting, but it's not the same thing. QDMA is not saying you can't shoot that basket rack 8-point.
Sure.
All QDMA is saying is when you get a chance, let those young bucks walk and let's let them get a little bit bigger and a little higher quality and then harvest the appropriate number of does for your property. So I'm not saying you have to shoot every doe that walks out, but if you're, you know, hopefully you're managing your property, if you own your property and trying to understand what kind of herd you've got out there, hopefully that'll help you know what you need to harvest and you can take the appropriate number of deer.
And that's not something a lot of people do, you know, herd surveys in the springtime or summer to see what they've got and then limiting exactly what you can take off that property.
Yeah, I mean, you know, not all properties are created equal. If you hunt down in the lower part of the state, like I do a lot in Orangeburg, where there's a lot of groceries in those ag fields, you can probably harvest more deer than you can up in the mountains in Game Zone 1, yeah. where they're a little more scarce and there's not as much food on the ground.
That's so, exactly right.
It really is location specific and herd specific.
Very good. Foothills Branch, March the 8th, 6:30 to 9:00, the hangar at the Runway Cafe in Greenville, South Carolina. Where do people go to get tickets for this thing, John?
Like I said, the easiest way to get your tickets is to buy them online. You can go to foothillsqdma.com. You can also come to my business, Jinx Inc. Realty. Our office is on Malden Road, at 959 Malden Road, if you'd rather buy a hard copy ticket with a check or cash. And then we will offer a limited number of events tickets the night of the event, but we prefer you get them ahead of time so we can plan our food and beverages. But that's the easiest way to do it, and we hope everybody will make time to come out and join us and have a good time.
I hope they will, too. John, thanks for taking a few minutes on Saturday to come back on Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Absolutely. Love doing it again. Y'all have a great weekend.
Thank you, John. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, there you got it. That's the half the calendar of events for this week. The other half we're going to talk about with Glenn here in just a few minutes, aren't we?
That's right.
And this calendar, as always, is brought to you by Visit Anderson Green Pond Landing and Event Center, which is the host lake, Lake Hartwell, and the host landing at Green Pond. I was out there, Thursday morning. We had a Anderson County Chamber of Commerce breakfast to welcome Bassmasters in. Bruce Aiken, CEO, was there. Dave Preck, head of media, was there. We had good breakfast, had a couple little presentations, and then we went out to Green Pond Landing. Have you been by there lately?
I have. By the road, I saw where they've added a dock.
Yeah, they got the 8-foot dock used to be on the left-hand side.
Yep.
Is now on the right-hand side.
Right, I saw that.
The left-hand side now is a 10-foot wide dock.
Okay.
So, and if you remember, the docks have the pilings in the edges. Well, on the 10-foot dock, the walkway is still 8 feet wide, but you got an additional 2 feet on the water side. Okay. Which is really cool, yeah. And it's an L shape. It goes out and takes a left down towards the dam.
Yeah, I hadn't seen that part.
That part is really cool. Yeah. So out there and saw that Thursday morning. You know, it's getting close.
Yeah, they got to get those boats out of the way of the ramp when the guys are backing in. If they all pile up, tie up to that dock parallel with the ramps, you can't, you know, shuts it down.
Shades of 2015.
Yep.
Oh, man. All right. Well, like I said, hope you get out. Get involved with the branch of QDMA here in South Carolina. Great bunch of guys. They put a lot of emphasis on youth, conservation of resources. Not a better organization around. All right. Hang on through the break. Come back. Glenn and I are going to talk about Meet the Elites 2018 version. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I think my heart rate has calmed down a little bit. And I tell you, it's been a busy couple of days. Thursday morning at Anderson Green Pond Landing, came home packed, had a meeting in Blacksburg, South Carolina, went to the farm in Chester, caught a few bass. I mean, this fishing's wide open right now.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Wide open. Caught a few bass at the pond. Got up early Friday morning. Kind of went through the back roads. We went down actually through Sumter. Left all the names of the towns down through there left me. Greeleyville and
oh, yeah.
Some of those places.
Through Lake City and.
No, we hooked back because we went into on the Santee River.
Okay.
Hooked in around, came in the Santee River there below the lake and did some shad fishing, mm-hmm. some freshwater tarpon fishing.
Yep.
And had a good bite. It was three of us, and I think we fished for about 2.5 hours. We probably caught, we kept probably 20, 25.
Wow.
And released about half that many.
I've never done that. I've done a lot of fishing, but never done any shad
fishing.
It's fun.
It's only February, March, maybe a little bit in April. You know, shad are one of those that, you know, are born in fresh water, go out to salt water, live their whole lives out in salt water, and come back in to spawn and die in fresh water.
And migrate back up the river.
And they come up the Santee River, they come up Cooper. Probably the best place everybody knows about shad fishing is behind the Panopolis Dam there at Monk's Corner.
Right.
But this is a new place. I've never been up here. It's on the Santee River. There's several places on the Santee. I can't tell you where we were, because my guide buddy would shoot me, you know. Yeah. But met up with John, a good friend of mine, John Fuss, down in Charleston, Holy City Fish and Charters. And Taylor and I, we kept that many and lost about half that many. And it's in current when you got a fish that's that strong, who's used to that saltwater environment, and those are strong fish. And they get a little current behind them, and you're using 6-8 pound test line, and that hook will work loose. And it kind of get like a brim. It gets sideways to you. Yeah, and like pulling a concrete block.
You using a spinning reel, rod, or a fly rod?
Well, I've caught them fly rods. That's one of my favorite ways to catch them, but it's kind of in a river, close river bank. We were just bank fishing, essentially. We had our waders on. We're out probably 5-10 feet. But kind of hard to throw. I'm not a very good roll caster.
All right.
So we were just using spinning reel, but the thing about shad fishing is the easiest fishing you'll ever do. You get you some 3/16 to 1/4 ounce. Actually, we were using 3/16 and 8s. Depending on the current. Now, behind Panopolis Dam, you're going to have some weight.
Right.
There's some current coming out of that thing. But the current in the Santee wasn't too bad, but you're using just chartreuse jig heads and chartreuse curly tail jigs.
Okay.
Like 1.5 inch bodies or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you tandem rig them. About one up here and about 18 inches of mono, or it really doesn't matter. They're not leader shy or anything. About 18 inches between the two, and 90% of them are going to come on the second one.
Wow.
Taylor one had a pair on.
How about
you know,
that?
Which was fun on 8-pound test line. It was a little bit of a zinger. You know, you hear some drag going off. It's a fun fishery.
Right.
And, you know, most of the guys down in Charleston, they'll catch them, and there's a limit on them. You have to have a license. There's a limit on them. A lot of the guys in Charleston will go catch them because they're just going to die, and they'll take them and freeze them and use them for shark bait during the summertime.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and the sharks just love them.
Right. But they smell good after a while.
Well, they freeze them. I don't think it stink too much. But they're real oily on the inside and all. Actually caught some herring. I mean, there was some herring in there. We caught on those jig heads probably 8, 10, 12 inches long.
Wow.
And I even caught a couple of blue catfish. So it was a mixed bag day.
Yeah.
And then, went on into Charleston, stayed with my daughter who's down there in college. Got up early this morning, went and saw the sunrise. Beautiful sunrise. Always fun when you can be on the beach in the morning and almost in the mountains in the afternoon.
Right.
Got a great state.
About 3 hours. That's good.
Well, 4.5 you like me because I'm never on 26.
Oh, okay. Yeah, 26 is not too good anymore.
No, huh? The tagline on the show is take the back roads. That's where I live, you know, when I go places. And I think Google just takes you wherever it wants you to take you.
It'll get you there.
It'll get you there.
Oh, yeah.
You scratch your head sometimes going, really? I'm going 3 different roads for less than a mile to get to one place. Can't you find me a straight line?
Yep.
But it's fun. Look, the reason you're here is meet the elites.
Mm-hmm.
We had this in 2015.
Right.
Had a great event. Except it was sleeting, snowing, and whatever else whole evening.
It was cold. The whole event was cold.
I slid all the way home.
Right.
Staying off 85 the whole way from Anderson. But it was a great event. A lot of speakers. Had a lot of people show up.
Yep.
Despite the weather. Which tells me that bass fishermen are a real crazy bunch.
Oh, yeah. They dedicated.
We're dedicated. We don't.
You can call it that.
My wife would call it something totally different, as would yours.
Yep.
2015, we got this, the 2018 version coming up March 12th. Tell us a little bit about Meet the Elites.
Well, Meet the Elites is an event that a couple guys, we all kind of dreamed up for the first, the first classic. I'm sorry, the last classic.
The last classic, not 2008.
Classic. Yes.
Yes.
And we held it over at Anderson Civic Center, and it was a blast. We had probably a dozen of the Bass Pros show up. Randy Howell, of course, one of the main speakers, and Hank Parker, and Edwin Evers. Trying to remember the fourth one, but it was just a blast. And we went in and have some, four big rooms we divide up,
right,
seminars, and come out and eat and sit down, and these guys do a live story and tell a testimony. They kind of own their own, what they want to talk about, and it's great. We had, I won't say it was 800 there last time with a ice storm.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We had to leave the boats inside for a couple of days before we could get them out because of the ice.
That's right. That's right.
But we're going to do basically the same thing again.
All right.
I think we're going to have a good many vendors this time. Last time, a lot of them backed out at the last minute because of the ice.
Sure.
The doors open at 5, and at 6 we'll start the seminars. And they'll last about an hour, about 15 minutes to each room, and we'll break out and eat and listen to these other guys speak.
That's fun.
It is fun.
When you can get that close to these guys.
Oh, yeah.
And the nice thing about this, there's one thing about getting close to them at the ramps in the morning, at weigh-ins in the afternoon. In something like this, they're not in that fishing mode.
No, they're very relaxed.
Very relaxed.
They stand around, I'm guessing, 45 minutes last time after it was over with, just to see people and take pictures and autographs. It's very relaxed. No pressure on them.
Yeah.
They can't talk about fishing on the lake, so, I mean, they talk about anything else.
Anything else.
Yeah.
And like most outdoorsmen, they like to talk.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, what's more fun to talk about than fishing or boats?
With another guy who likes fishing and boats.
Yep.
And who makes a living doing it. That's the thing.
Yep.
So who all's going to be there this year?
Well, this year, basically the same group. We got Randy Howell, Hank Parker, and Alton Jones.
Alton Jones.
Won the first classic.
Well, in 2008. And he's going to be on with us after the break.
Yes, he'll be here in just a few minutes on the telephone.
On telephone, he's not going to be here. Nobody get excited and come over here and want his autograph. He's not going to be here until a few weeks from now. But, doors open at 5 o'clock. You got vendors there, meet and greet with the pros, 6 o'clock the seminar start. Mm-hmm. And you said they're pretty much whatever they want to talk about during the seminar?
Yep, yep. It's just whatever. I can talk about crappie fishing or bass fishing, but most likely it's going to be bass fishing. Just whatever they enjoy doing the most, they're going to talk about, and they'll let them ask questions. But we kind of limited about 15 minutes a room to try to stay on a schedule.
Sure.
So if they speak for 15 or 17 minutes, you may not have time to do the question answer.
Right.
But and some of them, that's all they'll do. They may go in and say, all right, anybody got any questions? Next thing you know, you got to pull them out there because people got 1,000 questions.
And they do.
Yep.
They will, if they don't have one when they're sitting there, they'll think of one while somebody else is asking
questions.
Exactly. And those guys, and they want to hang around and ask all those questions. They feel bad about leaving.
Yep.
7 o'clock dinner, what are we having to eat this year?
Barbecue from Stoney's over on Highway 81 north in Anderson. They're doing the barbecue, and it's great. David Strickland's going to bring a bunch of boats.
Okay.
And Grady's has got several good door prizes. I think they're going to even have a rifle to give away. We'll have probably 10 or 12 great door prizes. It won't be anything like giving you a pack of worms, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Sitting an hour to get a pack of worms.
No,
it'll be over in a few minutes. So if you've got kids that are going to school the next morning, because it is on a Monday night, we're going to get you out of there quick. Stay around too long unless you want to talk to them.
Yeah. And you've got an organization that's going to benefit from all this too.
Exactly. Meals on Wheels of Anderson.
And
if you want to get tickets, they online at Meals on Wheels.
Okay.
And easy to get. Grady's have them.
Okay.
Has them. And Captain Dave's on 24, David Strickland's place.
Right.
Has them at Stoney's Barbecue.
Okay.
They all have right. them also.
Okay.
So you can call any of those people or just get it on Meals on Wheels online.
Okay. So you can get it, you can get them on acmow.org, Anderson County Meals on Wheels?
Yes.
That's where you go yes. to get them.
Uh-huh.
And I've got, you were good enough to bring me a bunch of them. And I'm going to, you get 10.
Yeah.
I got 10 tickets here. Hmm. I smell a giveaway.
Yep.
Maybe after, maybe, okay, beginning of next segment. I give away two the next, two after the break and two after the 45. So if you want tickets, I'll give a pair away each time. The number, you can write this down, 877-235-9405. You got to wait for me to say, don't call in over the break now. I'll give a go sign, and I'll give away a pair of tickets after the 30, about an hour break, and a pair after the 45. How's that? And then we'll do some stuff on, I guess, some on Facebook and stuff like that, too. But I appreciate these.
Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, and, sir. We want to promote that. We're trying to raise as much money as we can for Meals on Wheels. This is her month, one of her okay. biggest months, March, to raise money.
Very good.
That's a great organization.
It is. And you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, why do these bass tournaments come here? They part of it's in Anderson, part of it's in Greenville. There's a little tug of war there between the two counties and all that. But this right here, Meals on Wheels, getting people out to meet these things, this is what a lot of this professional bass tournament's about.
Exactly.
And coming here, exactly. and those guys, we can do something like this, benefit the local community.
Yeah.
And ordinarily, you wouldn't have that event.
That's right. That's right. And these guys love this. I mean, it's still exciting to them. I know when I travel and fish, I mean, it's fun when somebody comes up and say, you know, how about give me your autograph?
Sure.
Or I saw you on TV or what's the fish doing? You know, it's just fun.
Yeah, it is fun. It is. Nobody's come ask my autograph yet.
They hadn't.
No.
Can I get it?
No.
Okay.
I don't want a friend to get the first one.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All righty. Yeah, Glenn's a big red fisherman. We're going to talk about some red fish in the last segment. Coming up, next segment, Alton Jones is going to be here with us. So hang on for more Woods and Water, South Carolina. But you're looking through me. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. True to my word, 877-235-9405. If you want a pair of tickets to meet the elites, Monday, March 12th, call in 877-235-9405. And you can actually meet the gentleman that we have on the line with us, who is the 2008 Bassmaster Classic, Mr. Alton Jones. Welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina, sir.
Hey, thanks. It's great to be here. Anytime I get to visit and talk with folks in the upstate, it always makes my day.
Well, we appreciate that, and we love having you guys come to the upstate and fish in our lakes and be part of the community for a few weeks.
Well, I tell you, Lake Hartwell and that whole area of South Carolina holds a special place in my heart after winning the biggest tournament of my life right there on Hartwell in 2008. And, you know, while I was there, I made so many friends and met so many folks. It's, you know, you have a great area, but what makes it great are the people right there. And that's as much as it. I'm looking forward to the fishing when I come back, but I'm really looking forward to just being, you know, y'all are right there with Texas as far as hospitality in the United States. Texas and South Carolina are my two tops.
I tell you, we're a lot alike. You know, we both have a lot of national pride. We're patriotic people.
Mm-hmm.
We love the outdoors.
Amen.
And we have a good, that good Southern gospel society, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but sometimes I think parts of America have lost all track of common sense. And sometimes you just got to get back to the good Southern part of the United States to find some ideas that really do make sense and have common sense. And so, you know, don't get me even started on politics, but you know where I stand.
We're the only one that has common sense, right?
That's right.
That's right. That's right.
Well, Alton, I got to tell you, I was there. I was out on Lake Hartwell on Sunday, February. What day in February was that? Was it like the 13th or something?
Oh.
In 2008. Do you remember the Sunday?
Oh, yeah. I don't remember what the date was.
I was out there in my flats boat with my 12-year-old daughter. You know, I'd kind of pull over the side and let everybody go by me, and then I'd, you know, 40 miles an hour, I'd try to catch up. But one of the coolest memories I have is we were there at Portman when y'all were taken out, and of course it was one boat at a time, I think. It took forever to get everybody out of the water. And you were sitting there up against the far bank, and I got a picture of you. You're just kinda hanging and you're looking at me, and I look back on that picture and I said, you know, I wonder what was running through his head at that moment when he was waiting to pull out. Did you know you had won the Classic back then on that day on Sunday afternoon?
You know, I really did not. It's interesting that you asked that because, you know, we're unlike any other sport. We don't have a scoreboard where we can look up and tune it with 30 seconds left. We're 3 points behind and we need to sink that long shot or whatever. We don't really know till we get to the weigh-in.
Sure.
And my catch on that final day was actually a little bit lighter than what it had been all week. And honestly, I felt like I had won it. And I felt like maybe there's still a chance, but you're fishing against the best in the world. And the chance of everybody in front of you stumbling a little bit too is pretty slim. And so I was tied up my stomach was tied up in knots. It was a tough time. And, you know, it's really a weird feeling to go back and, I mean, to remember what that was like. And because, you know, winning the Classic is something every pro angler dreams about. And to think that, you know, I just came that close and I probably just blew it I can still feel that pit in my stomach thinking about it.
That is a moment. I'm sure I will never be anywhere close to that, but I can only imagine hoisting that trophy at the Classic and what that's got to feel like.
Yeah, that was a surreal time for me. I want to tell you a little bit about what that's like, because, you know, I fished, I think, that was my 13th Classic, and I guess this will be my 18th or 19th now when we come back. So I fished quite a few times as a competitor, and I'd always watched somebody else hold the trophy. And even long before I ever fished it, as a fan of the sport, I'd watched so many of my heroes before me host that trophy. And when you're out in the crowd and you're watching that winner hoist the trophy, you realize that the eyes of the world are upon you. But when you're up on that stage and the lights are shining on you and you're the one holding the trophy, it was so strange because even though I was there in the arena with all the people around, the way they have their lights, you can't see anything. And it was like I was all alone on that stage.
Oh, wow.
And that was a really strange feeling, knowing that everybody's watching, but you kind of feel
alone.
You just feel like you're all by yourself.
Yeah.
And it's a very emotional moment. You know, what was running through my mind was my family, my wife and my kids, but also my granddad who taught me to fish, who passed away back in 1988. You know, you just start thinking about the things that led you to where you are.
Sure.
The grace of God allowing me to live in America where I could actually fish and get paid for it. I mean, so many things went through my mind just during that moment while I was standing up there.
You know, it's amazing you said that. Your granddaddy who taught you how to fish. Because that's how I started out too. My granddaddy and I, we a little farm pond over in Chester, South Carolina. You know, Saturday mornings they would be there, spend the night. Friday night, Saturday mornings we'd get. First, it was a Ford Fairlane, and then it was a Grand Torino. And he'd reach over in the glove box, can of Vienna sausage. He had a yellow handle case knife. We'd share a can of Vienna sausage, and we'd get in the boat and catch whatever bass and brim we could. And that's the way I learned how to fish. And it's. Mm-hmm. It's amazing the bonds and common threads that we share in the fishing side of life.
You know, everybody that loves to fish or hunt, we all have a story about that person is the one that lit the fire within us.
Yes.
For you and me, it was our granddad. But, you know, that needs to be motivation for all of us to reach out and find a friend who doesn't fish or a youngster, a child especially, and take them fishing and introduce them to it. You know, you're noticing now the popularity of high school fishing.
Oh, yes.
The popularity of the collegiate fishing. That, to me, is why it's having such a big impact on our sport, is because it is introducing a lot of the next generation. Maybe kids who without that would never have the opportunity to experience what it's really like to be a part of the outdoors, to set the hook on a bass, to experience the thrill of the fight. That it's introducing them to it. And I know that's not really the purpose of our talk here today, but
no.
You know, that's the next leg driving our sport, is those new kids that are getting introduced to it.
And you know, talking about high school and college fishing, you know, those high school kids, and every boat is an adult who not only donates practice days and all that, but sits there on tournament day. They can't, you know, they can't give advice. All they're there for is to drive the boat. All the kids have to make decisions. That's the kind of give back we need from adults these days, whether it be fathers, grandfathers, uncles, neighbors. And it's really cool how, over the last few years, having been around a lot of high school fishing and all that, to see those people investing in those young people's lives. It's a really cool thing to watch.
It is. You know, mentorship is important, not just in fishing, but in every aspect of life, but certainly in fishing. And I think our fishing community is really just now embracing the importance. You know, that's part of conservation also, is if we can teach these kids to enjoy the outdoors, we're teaching these kids to protect the outdoors and to save it for their kids and for their grandkids as well. And, you know, that's something. It's such a valuable resource that we don't want to see it go to waste.
Yeah, they have to have a vested interest in the resource for them to care about it.
Yeah, amen. I mean, you're always going to take care of the things that are important to you.
That's right.
You know, I look back on my granddad pouring into my life and teaching me fishing and what it meant to me, just having him be there, be my friend. You know, some of the best memories of my life. And to everybody that's listening, if you haven't taken a child fishing in a while, just realize the difference that you can make by taking that child out on the water.
That's right. Well, getting around to fishing a little bit, I got a couple questions. The first one, and Glenn wants me to ask you this, what's it like to get beat by your son?
Well, you know, that's an interesting feeling also. You know, in a way it kind of stings a little bit, but in a way it kind of feels good.
Okay.
You know, he and I, we are competing against each other out there, but at the same time, it's interesting because most tournaments, either he's doing well and I'm not doing well, or I'm doing well and he's not doing well. We've had very few events where we were both excelling at the same tournament. So I'm glad to see him do good. He's glad to see me do good. Now, it's just a matter of time. There's going to come a day when we're both up there vying for championship on the final day. And then I can promise you he's going to make me earn it, and I'm going to make him earn it. I can't wait for that day to come.
That will be fun to watch.
You know you're supposed to quit right before they beat you, because you don't ever want your kids to beat you.
The bad part is my wife has already told me when that day comes, she's rooting for him and not for me. And I just didn't know how to take that, you know. So we're already ready for that.
That's a mom. That's a mom for you. That's a mom.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Well, the lake is going to be a lot different than it was in 2008. I mean, it was down 14 or 15 feet. I remember white knuckle gripping the steering wheel on my boat, trying to maneuver around the lake a lot. It's going to be way up. Everybody's going to catch fish, aren't they?
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Plus, we're there later too. More of the fish are going to be in shallow water. We were mid to late February last time.
Right.
We're going to be mid to late March. You know, and that time of year, you're putting the fish in a whole other cycle. They're going to be out of the winter pattern. They're either going to be pre-spawn or spawn, depending on how long this warm weather, this warming trend that we've got in, holds in there. So, you know, that kind of takes the local advantage out of it. I mean, I hate to say that for guys like Casey, but for guys like me, that's good.
Sure.
Because your intimate knowledge of that lake doesn't come into play as much when the fish get on the bank.
Yep.
About who's better about figuring them out, finding them, and then executing come game day.
Executing. I hear that a lot. That's what you got to do when you're in these tournaments. Execute.
Yeah. You know, when you hear people say that, that means not only making good, perfect casts every time, but it means when you get that bite, put him in the boat. Everybody's got the story about the big one that got away. But to win something like the Bassmaster Classic, you can't have that story. You got to have the big one that came in the boat.
Right. The one that didn't get away.
That's right. The one that didn't get away.
Tell me, you've been at this, I think Glenn and I figured out, about 28 years is what you've been, is that close to what you've been fishing professionally?
That's right. I can't believe it's been that long.
We looked it up. 1990 was one of your first terms, at least listed on the Bassmaster website.
Right.
28 years. What's one of the best things about being a professional fisherman to Alton Jones?
Well, there's so many great things. I mean, there's not a lot of downside if you can be successful. Anytime you can have your passion become what you get paid for as your job, and it's not just fishermen. I mean, I know doctors who are passionate about their profession, and lawyers, and you know, anybody can be passionate about it. But for me as a fisherman, that's a great feeling. But I'll tell you what, when I look back over a long career, the thing that stands out to me the most is that it allows me to touch people's lives. And I don't take that lightly. You know, I know it's not incumbent on people that achieve success to be a role model, but for me, it's an important thing. When I have a little bit of time with somebody, because I've had success in fishing, sometimes they'll listen. And I want to be able to just impart a positive message into their life, to encourage them because of my faith in Christ and let them know how that can help in their life as well. And, you know, send them away with a smile and with hopefully just a little bit of truth that can help them in their life.
Do you still have a verse for every tournament?
I do. I don't have my one picked out for the classic yet, but I put a different Bible verse on my boat at every single tournament, and I pray about those. And you know, the scripture is such a powerful thing. It's not me putting the verse on there, but the verse itself, you know, God's word never comes back void. And I'm amazed sometimes where it seems like I'm just randomly picking a verse and putting it out there and memorizing it. But I'll get comments on my Facebook and different places. Somebody will say, you know, I heard your voice today quoting that verse, and it was like God was speaking directly to me. It's exactly what I needed to hear today. And, you know, so God's word is powerful. And, you know, it's an honor for us to be able to read it and to be able to share that into the lives of others.
Absolutely. Mr. Alton Jones, it has been an honor to have you on Woods and Water South Carolina. Thank you for taking a few minutes of your Saturday to be here. I, of course, I have my hometown favorite, Casey Ashley, but if I have a sentimental favorite, it's got to be you from way back in 2008. Hopefully, I can get my daughter, who's in college, to come back up and spend a little time with me, and it'll not only you'll be reliving memories out on the lake, and so we will be watching you do it. And best of luck. Look forward to seeing you at the Meet the Elites event on the 12th. That's going to be a fun night.
Okay, you bet. Well, thank you for having me on, and I look forward to being back in the upstate here in just a couple of weeks.
Very good. Thank you, sir, and we'll see you soon.
Okay, God bless.
Yeah, God bless you too, sir. Pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, great fella. Yeah, just a down-to-earth guy.
And you told me you couldn't talk on the radio.
I said I couldn't talk on the radio.
You couldn't talk on the radio. Oh, okay. I got that backwards then.
He can talk.
Oh, yeah. He's good. Yeah, what a cool guy. But that is one of my favorite memories, is sitting there watching him waiting to be taken. It's taken probably 20, 25 minutes to get taken out.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just kind of looking off into space, and he looks right at me, and I got the picture of him. He's just kind of looking, and I just wonder what was running through his mind. Did he know he had it?
Well, that morning they left the Hyatt in Greenville on a bus.
Yeah.
And he told me he didn't speak to a person. He prayed the whole trip the last morning.
Focus, people. Focus.
Focus.
Got to be focused to win. All right. Hang on through the break. Come back. Lynn and I are going to talk a little red fishing. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it, Glenn?
Absolutely.
If you want a pair of tickets to the Meet the Elites, where you can talk to and listen to Alton Jones and Hank Parker and a couple other guys, 877-235-9405, 877-235-9405. And you can get a pair of tickets to Meet the Elites, Monday, March 12th, Anderson Civic Center. And you don't have to go to acmow.org and buy them.
That's right.
Thank you, Glenn.
What a deal.
I appreciate this. Hey, it is time to go fishing.
That sounds like a winner.
I mean, largemouth, the shad runs on. I've seen some people catch some really big crappie lately, too.
I hadn't caught any, but they say it's been on for a month. I don't know how with all that cold weather. But at Hartwell and down at Lake Russell, they're catching tremendous size crappie.
Very cool. Not numbers,
but they're catching some big ones.
But now, you and I have a common bond here.
Mm-hmm.
Salt water. Oh, man. And let me start off this. I talked to, like I said, I went shad fishing with John Fuss, a buddy of mine, the guys down in Charleston. And we were talking, and I asked him, I said, how bad was the fish kill? And he said, you know, it was bad in parts. He said, trout mostly. So just remember, when you're down there fishing, we're under a voluntary catch and release on spotted sea trout.
Right. It'd be a couple of years before they come back. He's got to have a couple warm winters.
For them to replenish and get everything over. But, man, we love this red fishing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's, for me, I love walking the flats or pulling across a flat and watching that tail come up. But now Mr. Glenn Finley here, he's a tournament red fisherman. And what I understand, they're not going to let you go to Georgetown anymore.
I don't know. I plan on going.
You keep winning down there, and you know, you kind of making some other people
lose friends, don't you?
That's right. You mean?
But that's all right. What a compliment.
What a compliment. That's exactly right. When you're red fishing, if you're just for fun or scouting or whatever, what are you looking for? Are you looking for oyster rakes? Are you looking for points with current? What to somebody who sees the redfish and wants to know how to get started fishing, what's the best place for them to start? Without giving away any trade secrets or spots in Georgetown.
I'm not going to give any spots away.
Don't know spots.
But what you really want to look for, and it's taken me a lot of years to figure this out, you want sparse grass on a high tide where the fish can actually move in there and feed. And then on a low tide, you want enough water they can sit on low tide that the porpoise can't get to them. So you're going to have, and it varies. They may get on a flat that's 50 acres, and you can't hem them up.
No.
But ideally, you're looking for a flat that's an acre or so, and you just have to stake out on a low tide and let them swim by you. You can't. When they're on low tide, those fish are very, very scared. I mean, that's when the porpoise eat them.
That's when the dolphins get them, yeah.
You can literally, even on our coast, and you can't see them, but somehow if you pull your rod back, they can see that shadow or something, and they're gone. And they like a school of black, I mean, not school, like a like a flock of blackbirds. When one goes, they all go. They don't know why they run, but they run.
They run.
And a game over. But other than that, you look for little oyster rakes. It's got a little bit of current. They don't like a lot of current.
Right.
They'll get on the downside of current, no matter which side, if it's coming in or out. And but I do love to fish the oyster rakes. That's a lot more fun. It's more like bass fish.
Yes, it is.
You know, sitting on a flat, that's almost like catfishing.
I'm not a
catfisher.
You got to get a platform, and you got to get you a 21-foot pole, and you start chasing them.
Yeah,
that's what you got to do.
If you start chasing them, it's usually over. They know what's behind them about 100 yards. They're gonna stay roughly a cast and a half to two cast away
from you.
I don't know how they know that.
Yeah,
but you know,
vibration in the water. I'm sure they feel it.
They feel it. They feel it. Even when you're sitting dead still, they can feel it. I'm sure the sound bounces off and comes back quicker, just like a sonar.
You a fan of braid in salt water?
Absolutely. I know it's cheating, but I mean,
here comes those oyster rakes. Let me tell you, mono and oyster rakes don't go together.
No. Normally, on our coast, the water's dingy.
Yeah.
I'll use bait caster around 50-pound braid with a 40-pound fluorocarbon leader. It's, 18 inches. 24
inches.
And that takes a lot more abuse than the braid or the mono. The braid just cuts like butter.
Yeah.
But that fluorocarbon, it takes a beating.
It's tough.
Now I've heard guys, I use 15-pound braid and 12-pound fluorocarbon leader. Well, I mean, that's fine.
Sure.
You better have a bucket full of lure. Because around this part of the world, it's not coming back.
Yeah. When y'all are tournament red fishing, it's artificial only, right?
That's right. That's right.
What's one of your favorite artificials to throw? You throwing hard baits? You throwing soft plastics?
Well,
what's your druthers?
I really don't care as long as they eat it. But it's fun in some parts of the country. Ours, the East Coast, is not as good. But when you get over in the Gulf, if you can get jetties or something that sticks out on the beach. I mean, ain't nothing more fun than throwing a deep diving crankbait, because when they hit it, they just knock it out of your hand. I mean, it's just unreal. But in tournament fishing, a lot of times you catch bigger ones.
Right.
And a lot of times they almost swallow it, and you don't want to put a fish in live while it's bleeding.
Right.
I mean, he's a liability.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, in tournament fishing, probably use a gulp on a jig head.
Okay.
Or a little white swim bait with a kale weighted hook.
Right.
Or a spinner bait.
That's right.
Spinner bait is awesome.
Awesome.
But sometimes they won't hit one of those three. They usually hit one of those three, but they won't hit them all.
Okay.
It's weird.
Will you put a trailer on your spinner bait? Paddle tail trailer or anything? Or you just throwing it naked?
Well, the one I use is the Redfish Magic. It's got a short arm spinnerbait, and that's all it's on is a head with a basically a jig head with a skirt. Whatever you want to put on it. Well, I change colors of the skirt. It's cool where I'm at, what the water looks like, and water temperature, and you know all kind of stuff.
That thought just left me.
Uh-oh.
That's what happens when you get our age.
You want me to ask you some questions?
Sure. Go ahead.
My brain's empty. my wife would contest to that.
What you don't know is Glenn called me about 2:30 or so and said somebody ran off my keys. I'm waiting. I may be a little late, so we were a little rushed getting here, but it's been a good show.
It's been a great show.
Appreciate you coming up.
And if I got time,
yes,
the IFA is a great organization. That's one of the ones I've traveled and fished with, Inshore Fishing Association. They're going to have a couple of tournaments in Georgetown this year, and it's awesome. I mean, you don't have to be a professional fish. I mean, there's people that just want to fish it. And there's a lot of these guys that travel with us all over the country fishing also.
Right.
But it's a blast. I mean, Ranger gives a boat away to every one of them, and it's a blast. They feed you and take care of. Georgetown's probably the best venue we go to.
Georgetown,
South Carolina.
I was fixing to say, you brought a couple of those Ranger boats home with you, haven't you?
Yep.
I'm in fine company here.
Yep.
Oh, man. All right. Well, lest you forget, Meet the Elites, March 12th, Anderson Civic Center. Doors open at 5 o'clock. You can get your tickets at ACMOW.org, Anderson County Meals on Wheels.org, or at various locations around Anderson.
Strickland, Captain Dave's, Grady's, and my brain did go dead. Stoney's Barbecue.
Okay.
Stoney's Barbecue in Anderson off 81.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Hey, take the back roads when you can. Make time to get out there. Don't forget the camera. Back next week, more Woods and Water, South Carolina, and the classic preview.